Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing a teaching that I started last week talking about a hardened heart. And last week I was basically just trying to describe that a hardened heart isn't something that applies only to people who are in rebellion towards God, but you can love God with all of your heart and be seeking God and yet still be hardened towards Him in certain areas. The definition of hardened by the dictionary, when you apply it to like your heart, it means to be cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. And one of the main scriptures that I used was in Mark chapter 8 in verses 17 and 18, where Jesus talked about His disciples and says, is your heart still hardened? And He said that when you have a hardened heart, it means you can't perceive, you can't understand. You have eyes, but you can't see, talking about that you don't have spiritual eyesight. You can't see, you can't hear, and you can't remember. If you missed any of that teaching, I really encourage you to get the materials that I'm offering. I have not only a CD and DVDs available, but I have a book on hardness of heart. This is one of the very first books that I wrote. I think I put this out in 1991. And this is just a powerful teaching that has really impacted my life. And so this last week, the very first week, I was basically just trying to show what the crisis is of a hardened heart. It is not something that is just for people who are in, some other country and God haters. This is something that is prevalent. If you were talking about this like being a disease, this isn't rare. This is common. It's something that seems like every single Christian has some area of our heart where we are cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding towards God. At the end of our program last Friday, I was basically making this statement that to summarize it all and to put it into as, as simple terms as I possibly can, having a hardened heart spiritually is similar to spiritual retardation. You just can't think straight. You don't see properly. You can't perceive. You can't understand. You can't remember. It is like being spiritually retarded. And I think that most people recognize that there is a dullness on our part towards the Lord, but they just don't realize the crisis, how severe it is. And so that's the point that I've been trying to make. Normally, I would have finished my teaching on that first part last Friday, but I wanted to go ahead and use this one other example of a hardened heart to help illustrate this so that you can relate to it. Recognize this is a problem that all of us need to deal with and then go on and show what causes it. And we'll start that on our program tomorrow. But let me use Pharaoh as an example of a person with a hardened heart. If you've ever studied the story of the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, you remember that there are 10 plagues that the Lord brought upon the land of Egypt through Moses. And I mean, they were just devastating plagues, turning the water into blood, having lice come up, frogs come up, hail come out of the sky and destroy crops, fire run along upon the ground. And the ultimate, the last one that basically broke the back of the Egyptians is when the death angel came through and they killed all the firstborn of man and of beast except among the Israelites. And I forget the exact number, but there are either 15 or 20 times in this account in Exodus chapter 1 through 14 where the scripture talks about God hardening the heart of Pharaoh. Now, out of those 15 to 20 times, whatever there are about three or four of them where it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then there's other times that it says God hardened his heart. Now, I'm not going to teach on this, but I just want to say this, lest somebody misunderstand, that I don't believe God would ever harden our heart, make us cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding, or spiritually retarded against our will. He would never take away our free choice. But if a person chooses to harden their heart towards God, there is nothing unjust on God's part for God to just continue and enforce that decision that they've made. And if you're familiar with Scripture, the Pharaoh in Egypt was worshiped as God. He proclaimed himself as God, and they actually worshiped him as God. Now, I can guarantee you, any person who ever proclaimed themselves as God, they might fool somebody else. I don't know how, but it's possible that you could fool somebody else. But I can guarantee you, Pharaoh knew he wasn't God. The Holy Spirit had convicted him of this, and yet he willfully chose to harden his heart, receive worship as being a God. He knew better. And so this man had already chosen to harden his heart, to rebel at the conviction of God and do all of this. And so it was not unjust for God to harden his heart. He had already made this decision, and God just took the decision that he made and enforced it and used it for his glory. And here's my point in saying all of this, that out of all of the people in Scripture that we have record of, it is mentioned more about Pharaoh that God hardened his heart than any other person. And if you stop and think about this, you could not have done what Pharaoh did if you hadn't have had a hardened heart. Now again, go back and remember that a hardened heart, according to Mark chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, is not being able to perceive, not understanding, not being able to see, not being able to hear, not remembering. If you didn't harden your heart or have God harden your heart, nobody would have persisted on the course that Pharaoh did because it was just absolutely foolish. God had displayed his power in such a way that it brought the Egyptians to their knees. And even the counselors of Pharaoh came and says, "How long are you going to refuse to let these people go? Don't you understand that we're all dead men? Their crops had been destroyed. They had had darkness for 3 days where the sun never shone." It wasn't an eclipse. It was absolute total darkness. And yet it says in the dwellings of the Israelites, there was sunshine. Now get a picture of this. Total darkness outside, and yet not just artificial light, a candle or something inside, but daylight inside of their houses and darkness outside for 3 days. How could a person stand in the face of such tremendous demonstration of God's power and harden their heart and just go on? Well, it's because he had already made his choice and God took away from him all wisdom and he wasn't able to perceive. He wasn't able to understand. It's a great example of what a hardened heart will do to people. For instance, about the third or the fourth plague, I forget the exact number, was God brought up frogs over all of the land. And I think this is in Exodus chapter 8. And these frogs came up and it got into the food of the Egyptians. It was everywhere. You got to remember that the Egyptians didn't have boots like what I've got. They didn't wear boots and clothes the way that we do. They had sandals. And it says that the frogs were everywhere. So that means that when they were walking, they had frogs squished between their toes. They had frogs in their clothes. They had frogs in their bed. They had frogs in their food. They had frogs in between their toes. Frogs were everywhere. And Pharaoh repented and called Moses in and says, I've sinned this time. Entreat the Lord that he would take away the frogs. And Moses says, "Well, glory over me. Tell me when you want the frogs to leave." And he said, "Tomorrow." Now, see what a great example of a hardened heart. God says, "You can have them leave anytime. It was a severe plague. When do you want them to leave?" And he said, "Tomorrow." Anybody in their right mind would have said, "Right now." But he said, "Tomorrow." You lose your wisdom. You lose your ability to think straight when your heart is hardened. And let me use this as an example here in the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. This is after they came out of the land of Egypt, after the firstborn had been killed. The Egyptians thrust them out, gave them gold and money, and blessed them. And Pharaoh even told Moses as he left the land of Egypt, he says, "Go, take all of this and pray also for me." He was totally devastated. He was totally brought to the end of himself. But look at this in Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before," I can't pronounce the name of this, "between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now the Lord says, "I'm going to have you camp in between these two mountains, and then on the other side will be the sea." So it's like a box canyon this is going to entice Pharaoh to come after you, thinking that you are trapped. There's no route of escape. And he says, I'm going to harden his heart so that he'll follow after you. Now, again, think about this. The Egyptians had had their entire crops destroyed. All of their livestock was destroyed. All of their gods had been made a fool of. The very things that they gloried in, God had exalted himself. They had killed the firstborn of animal and of man. Pharaoh had said, pray for me. I'm wrong. You're right. You're God. He's the true God. Pray for me. He was totally brought to the end of himself. And yet, when God hardened his heart, it's like he had never seen any of these miraculous manifestations of God. He went back to a course that had been proven at least 10 times through these plagues that it was the wrong course, that they were wrong, God was right. In the natural, nobody would have done what Pharaoh did except God hardened his heart. He took knowledge away from him. He took the ability to perceive and understand, to see, to hear, to remember. It's just like he had never gone through any of this stuff. To me, this is one of the greatest illustrations of what a person with a hardened heart is like. It's a person that, you know, they've just destroyed their life through drinking, through alcohol, through sexual sins, through gambling, through whatever it is. And yet, if you have a hardened heart, you wake up and go for it again. You just do the same thing. It's not worked before. It's destroying you. You hate it, and yet you go right back to it. Boy, that is a hardened heart. And yet people do this just like there is no reason to them at all. You know what? That is an indication of a hardened heart. So the people did what God told them to do. Pharaoh and his troops begin to come after them. And anyway, I'm not going to take time to read all of this because I'm running a little short on time. But let me just say, I'll summarize this. That what happened is the Israelites were in this situation that enticed Pharaoh to come after him. God hardened his heart. He took the armies, all of his chariots, all of his people. They came out after the Israelites. And Moses lifted up his rod over the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea. Now, get a picture of this. Here come the Egyptians down. They think that the Israelites are trapped. But here's Moses, the man who had just brought you to your knees, who had beaten you, who had destroyed the nation, who Pharaoh's own counselor says, we're all like dead men. Let them go. And here's this guy who had just beaten you, holding up that same rod that had done all of these miracles. He holds it up over the sea, and the sea parts. And the cloud that was on the other side of the Israelites comes up over them and stands in this valley in between these two mountains and separates you from the Israelites. And it was towards evening, contrary to the show, the Ten Commandments, which I'm not against the show. I've got it, but it's not all accurate. It's not all biblical. They didn't cross during daylight. They crossed during the night. It was all night long. It took them about 12 hours to get through the Red Sea to the other side. And so it was towards sunset when this happened, and the cloud came over and stood in this valley in between the Israelites and the Egyptians, and the cloud prevented the flame of fire to give light to the Egyptians, but yet it shone light upon the Israelites all night long while they crossed the Red Sea. Now, just get the picture of this. Here you are coming down to attack your enemy. This supernatural manifestation of God, a cloudy pillar of fire, comes up and blocks the way between. And you had just been defeated by these people. You had seen the plagues, the 10 plagues, all of these things. And here's the glory of God standing in between you and them. It's giving light unto your enemy, but it's giving darkness to you. You know what? I think my lightning fast mind could have figured out that God is involved in this, that God's fighting for the Israelites. This is futile. I ought to quit. I ought to stop this. And yet, because his heart was hardened, he just stood there. And contrary again to the show, the Ten Commandments, this wasn't something that took 30 minutes or an hour. It was a 12-hour process. It began at sundown on one day, and it was the next morning through the daylight as the sun was coming up. The Israelites finally finished crossing the Red Sea, and it says that the Lord looked through the cloudy pillar, And all of a sudden, the fire and the cloud dissipated. And there was nothing between the Israelites now and the Egyptians. So the Egyptians, the point I'm making is, this wasn't something that was done in just the heat of an emotion, and it wasn't just something that they felt and didn't have time to think about it. They sat there for 12 hours overnight, watching the supernatural glory of God bless their enemy and hinder them. And they sat there for 12 hours. Their emotions were already gone down. It wasn't just an emotional thing. It's just like they didn't have a brain in their head. I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe to sit there and see the glory of God blessing your enemy and hindering you, and yet you just sit there and wait your time? Then God takes away the pillar that stood between them, and here goes the Egyptians right into the midst of the Red Sea. You know, I think I would have been sharp enough to figure out that this was not the right thing to do. I think that any of us, any sane person, any person left to themselves would not have done what Pharaoh did. They wouldn't have done it in the heat of emotion, out of anger, hurt, anything. This just defies logic, and to me it's a great illustration of what a hardened heart does. It literally makes you spiritually retarded. You just can't think right. And so Pharaoh, because his heart was hardened, went right into the midst of the Red Sea. Finally, the Lord took off their chariot wheels, so that the King James Version here says that they drove their chariots heavily. I guess so. If you don't have any chariot wheels, you know what? That would have been tough. And finally, I mean, get the picture. It probably took them a day or two to get out to this place. Then, for 12 hours, they watched the Israelites cross the Red Sea with the glory of God blessing their enemies and hindering them. And then they go into the Red Sea, their chariot wheels come off, and finally, one of those lightning-fast Egyptian minds says, "The Lord fights for Israel. Let's flee." Man, that is just amazing to me that they were in the midst of this. Their chariot wheels were taken off before they figured out that God was fighting for Israel. How can people do that? How could you persist? How could you be so dull? Again, I say that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. There are about 15 or 20 times that it uses this specific terminology. And it was because of the hardness of their heart that they persisted on a course that was so obviously wrong. And yet they did it. To me, that is the greatest illustration in the Bible of what a hardened heart will do to you. A hardened heart makes you spiritually retarded. It makes you so you can't think. You just don't think straight. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying this in love. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help us. I'm saying that before we can fix the problem, we've got to acknowledge that we have a problem. And you know what? Most people don't understand that it's the hardness of our heart that's the problem. We think it's God who's non-responsive to us. We think it's other people that's our problem and stuff. And very few of us have accepted the responsibility that it's our own heart that has hardened us. But this is the problem. And there are people watching this program right now that you are doing things that defy logic. It is just stupid. And I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm saying it to help you. But I'm saying receive it in the spirit in which I'm giving it. I'm not giving this to hurt you, but I'm saying we do stupid things. We just do stupid things. I mean, dumb things. And then our life gets in a mess. And we want God to fix it. The problem isn't God. The problem is our own stupidity. Why do we do these things? Because our hearts are insensitive towards God. They've been hardened towards God. You know, I can think of an example of a woman who came to me and she wanted to marry this guy. I was holding Bible studies in this guy's house. And she wanted to marry him. And she came to my wife and I, and we counseled her, "No way, this is not God. Don't do it. No, zilch, don't stop." We did everything we could. We prophesied in the name of the Lord and told her no. The next day, they went out and ran off to New Mexico, where there was no waiting period in New Mexico at that time, got married and spent the night. And on the way back to Colorado, they came by our house. This was one day after they got married, and she knew that she had done the wrong thing. And she came in, and I mean, on the way back from their honeymoon, stopped at our house where she was crying, "Oh, I've missed God. What do I do?" And basically, I didn't have an answer. I said, it just defies logic. We told you with everything within us, don't do it. Now you've done it. Well, I don't know what to do. You made your bed, now lie in it. And you just wonder, how do people do things like this? God planted all of these things in their way to stop them, and they just go ahead headlong and ruin their life. And then after they have this crisis situation, now they come to God and want God to unscramble scrambled eggs. How do you do that? You know, it's better to learn how to avoid some of those problems. Instead of just going through life like a blind man and just falling and tripping over everything, we need to sensitize our hearts. I'm saying this in love, brothers and sisters, but I'm saying that this is a situation that is in epidemic proportions in the body of Christ. Our heart is hardened, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding towards God. We aren't listening to His instructions. We're making an absolute mess of our life. Just like Pharaoh, we don't even use the brain that God has given us. It's not even, you know, sometimes people blame things on the devil. And I bet you that the devil is probably looking at them and thinking, man, I never thought of that. That is great what they did. I would have never have thought of them doing this. I mean, the devil's probably taking notes on some of the stupid things that we do. It's beyond explanation, some of the mistakes that we make, some of the stupid things that we do. And people say, well, why am I doing this? How come I'm like this? It's because your heart is hardened. That is the characteristic of a person with a hardened heart. If you're a person that it just seems like you go out, you know, you marry one person, they wind up abusing you, and it's a terrible relationship, you get a divorce, and you go and choose somebody that's just exactly the same, and you go back into the same situation. You come out of dope, you come out of alcohol, you come out of some abusive relationship, you go right back in and do the exact same thing again. And you wonder, why did I do this? What's going on? I'm saying this in love, but it's the hardness of your heart. You're spiritually retarded, and it doesn't have to stay that way. Some of you may feel I'm condemning you and being harsh, but I'm saying these things to help you that it's not God. It's not the way that the life has to be. This is not the normal Christian life. God has intended something better. But for it to work, we have to change on the heart level first. If you would start sensitizing your heart to God, and that's going to be the teaching that I'll start on our program tomorrow. If you would learn how to have a sensitive heart and start listening to God and become hardened towards the devil, you could become spiritually a genius and retarded towards the devil to where you can't hear him, you can't perceive what the devil is trying to do, but boy, you can hear the voice of God. You can reverse this process. The same process that right now is working against most of us can actually work for us. We can get to where we're sensitive to God and hardened towards the devil. Right now, it's the opposite. Most people are sensitive towards the devil and hardened towards God, but it can be reversed. And that's what I'm going to start talking about tomorrow on our program, and I think this will really help you. So please listen in tomorrow as we continue this teaching on hardness of heart.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Hardness of Heart is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, the Hardness of Heart teaching series is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. The first audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled The Crisis, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 10th through the 12th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 9th through the 11th. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 31st through April 2nd, in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 14th through the 16th, and in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
For 8 years, Richard Anthony Waller struggled with debilitating and life-threatening health issues.
I was regularly walking on crutches. I was taking a lot of painkillers, and I was in a pretty bad way. And Charlie prayed his prayer, and I walked away, and I still felt the pain, but I knew and I believed that I was healed.
Today, he's totally and completely healed.
I'm healed. That's it. I'm healed. Everything. I'm healed. Everything. Everything is healed.
Check out his story today. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. There's more than just classroom activity at Charis Bible College. Students at CBC participate in hands-on ministry, like corresponding with prison inmates who want to learn more about relationship with God.
We're required to minister to other people, to basically give out what's been put in us.
And we just have many hungry prisoners that want to learn the Word of God.
It's a volunteer program, and I volunteer and write letters to prisoners.
It's really touched me because everyone needs to know what Christ has done for them and how that changes their life.
This ministry is changing lives every day.
The students of Charis Bible College are ambassadors for Andrew Womack Ministries wherever they minister around the world. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.